talked to for a minute, or take a minute and find someone that you haven't talked to for a while, or someone you don't know, while Jerry and I are getting set up here. So just kind of mingle it. A quarter off, we're shutting them off.
Recording in progress.
Consider it pure joy when you, when we face trials, tribulations, and persecution for His name's sake. Now we're going to face stuff in the course of our lifetime, right? Sometimes it's for His name's sake, and sometimes it's because of our own ignorance, rebellion, attitude, whatever. But we all are going to face stuff. Is there anyone in this room who hasn't faced something? Now, there's a difference between trials, tribulations, bullying, being picked on, and persecution. I think the definitions get a little more intense as you go from a trial. You know, yesterday I was working on a bulldozer with a guy. We're trying to get the radiator in. We had all kinds of tribulations and trials. But it didn't necessarily have a huge impact on my life, other than patience, teaching patience, and trying to figure things out. But persecution is called, like the definition would be like hostility, ill treatment, punishment. That's what some of the disciples went through in the first century church. Persecution is going to jail and getting lashed 39 times. Being hung upside down, being crucified. That's persecution. When someone says, I don't like the color of your shirt, that's not persecution. And how you respond to it is the key. So, as I mentioned, there are times, probably too numerous to mention in my own life, where I've made decisions that created my own trouble, my own tribulation, my own trials. But regardless of who ordained it, who caused it, who created it, whether it be God did, whether it be, there are also joys in life too, right? You have to kind of get refocused, right? Yeah. Oh, pay attention to me now. So I'm going to have to pull this back together here. Now, I have to say this kind of up front that, you know, I've had people say, you know, let the Holy Spirit lead you. Well, the stuff that's written on this paper, the Holy Spirit led me. Songs, messages. I mean, this morning I heard 5 different things, including everything that was on that screen, all the words to the music, that song that Sylvia picked out. We probably should have just stopped right there and had a service based on that, you know, that song. Unfortunately, you're going to have to listen to me for a few minutes. So anyway, I am going to read something here before I get into the show and tell. And I'll repeat myself because I think this is important. There are times, based on personal experience, biblical references that are, you know, that we read about all the time, and being witness to other people's struggles, believers and non-believers, that we create, cause, and choose many of the troubles that we face. I used to tell the kids in my sex ed class, the choices you make right now might not affect you tomorrow, but they will affect you. Whatever the choice is, good, bad, or indifferent. If you decide, someone tells you jump off a 4-story building and see what happens, you have to make a choice. You could land like a cat and walk off, or you could get killed or injured. You have to make that choice. So, again, regardless of who ordained it, who started it, who caused it or allowed it, and that could be God, the devil, ourselves, or someone in our midst, God and the Holy Spirit can and want to use those struggles to discipline us. And if we don't learn from those struggles, then we're not teachable and we're not able to be disciplined. And literally, some of the things that he teaches us can save our lives, not just spiritually, but physically. God and the Holy Spirit offer so many benefits to us. And they teach us about advantages and lessons that are here. A few of them all beginning with the letter I. I've got a list of things here that I... Now, by the way, this is not my message, but I'm going to ask maybe a couple people to distribute these. But these are some of the things that God can do. They aren't demands, you have to do this, you have to do that, but they are things that we can do that are available to us from the Lord and the Holy Spirit to improve our lives, to make us more disciplined for him. I'm not talking about being do this, do that, but just things that can free us. That's all I've got there. Like if there are a couple, maybe you can share. And of course, this is not limited. It's not inclusive. These are all words that begin with the letter I. Just the letter I that God can do for you so that you can be used more to further his ministry on this earth. They aren't related to demands, as I said. They're things we need to be more effective in living the life according to what the Spirit wants. Not what we want, but what the Spirit wants. We should want these actions and these different things that God can do for us so that we can be fulfilled in our lives more than, oh God, fix this and take care of that and heal this and do that's okay. But if we're not in tune with what he wants us to do, and if we're not completely submitted to him, then all the prayers and all the things we do are not going to be effective. So the list. I'm going to read this to us. It says, here are some verbs used to describe an action, state, or an occurrence that God and the Holy Spirit have at their fingertips. They have them at their fingertips. And we have at our disposal to help us walk this walk that the Lord has put before us. And if we're going to be ministering the Holy Spirit to people around us, we have to be connected to him. Obviously, we have to have him as our main source of strength and power. He has to be our Lord and Savior, first and foremost. So just looking down through, and this is a process. I mean, if you look at these words, we've all had these things happen to us. I mean, I'll just pick a couple. Reconcile. Restore relations with and settle things. Have we done that in our midst, in our communities, in our families? Reconciliation is an important factor if we're going to be all in the Spirit together. And then the scripture that goes with that is 2 Corinthians. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So if we're not able to reconcile, to be able to make amends, to be able to settle things as a body, we're certainly not going to be able to do it out there. Or even in the family. Sometimes people say families, that's the toughest place, but reconciliation is important in the family. And we've been through it. All families have been through it, where there's a falling away, you know, there's a disagreement, there's, you know, people, you know, separate themselves from biological family. I mean, I was at a funeral one time when there was a cough at the door. Only certain people could come in. Certain family members were not allowed to go to the funeral of their loved one. And we were at a wedding a few years ago out of state, and there was an undercover cop at the wedding to make sure that an ex-boyfriend from years ago wasn't like allowed into the service because he threatened on Facebook that he was going to disrupt the marriage. So reconciliation is important. How about redeem? Do something that makes up for a past. I think I put a post that it should be past. So the redeem is to do something that makes up for poor past performances or behavior. Anyone ever done anything in the past that you weren't too happy about? And probably that the Lord wasn't too happy about? Well, he can redeem you from that. But as for me, God will redeem my life and snatch me from the power of the grave. Moving down, here's another one. Reform. Bring about change for the better. Do we want that as believers? Especially our attitudes and behaviors. From Jeremiah 18, a warning. A lot of warnings in Jeremiah. I am planning a disaster for you instead of good. So, and it's that little so, but therefore, So turn from your evil ways, each of you, and do what is right. So when we do that, that reforms us, and then we're able to change for the better. Again, there's more on the back page. I went through this. I was telling Linda the other day, because I'm OCD, probably some of you know that. But, so when I was doing this, I made sure I put it in alphabetical order. But that's me. How about renew? Go back to after an interruption. Give fresh life or strength to. And Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, renew a loyal spirit with me. Even if we're in the spirit, we can go out because of our human nature. So we need to be praying to renew a loyal spirit within me. Again, there's a whole bunch there, but I just wanted to highlight a couple of them. And then I want to talk a little bit about what I've got in my show and tell here. The Edmonds, the Edmonds family, and the whole family, we've all been into logging for many years. My grandfather on my father's side and my grandfather on my mother's side, they logged. My father, in fact, that's why my grandfather ended up in Milan. He came here for a job from Prince Edward Island via Portland to become a logger for Brown Company. So we're big loggers. We have woodlots, we have tree climbers, not me anymore, but Dan over there. And we've got chainsaws, we got sawmills. Anyone who's been by my house is a sawmill across the road that belongs to my nephews. We have wood hooks, we have wood splitters, used to be mauls, but now we use the automatic ones. We have axes, all kinds of different tools, different types of saws and tools to do things with wood. So I've got some examples in here of wood and what you can do with it. And I'm one that always like, you know, nature and God and wood and trees and all that, that all can relate to what God's doing in your life. So imagine yourself as a tree. There's all types of trees. They have all types of different purposes, just like all types of different people, and God has a purpose for every one of us. But sometimes we have to be transformed and renewed and rescued and whatever else word we have in there to bring us to where He can more better use us. So, each wood, each person has different looks. If we look around, we're all different. We have different looks, we have different qualities, we have different strengths, we have different weaknesses, and so forth. But God can still use them, but He can't use them if we're not being stopped looking and listening to what He's saying and obeying. So, you probably think I'm crazy, but maybe not. I used to like show and tell at school, didn't you? So I want you to decide which one you are. Okay? Now remember, I have an automatic, 20-ton wood splitter? And it splits some pretty good wood. But sometimes it gets so bad I have to use a chainsaw to cut it. But anyway, so here's some different type of wood. I had a good time with that one. That's apple tree. So you can kind of, as I'm showing these, you can kind of figure out which one you are. Oak is a really good tree. This is one that Dan and I, and probably Ethan was there, we ended up cutting a big oak, and then I went to split it. We had to use a chainsaw to do some work on it, but that's kind of an ugly looking thing. I'm going to skip back to something that I got this morning, and I, like, for those of you who have ever done this, it seems like if you have a certain message that you're going to bring, God just throws stuff at you every moment. And so, you know, like the songs and all that other stuff. But this morning I got the thing from Dave and Linda Cantor. They were talking about difficulty. says, when difficulty arises, you feverishly attempt to find your own way in, around, or through the problem. Boy, we do that. Never considering the possibility of divine reasoning and strength. Well, we'll do this and do that, and then we'll say, oh, maybe we should pray about that. Maybe we should pray about that first. So this fosters a false sense of ability and independence. Oh, we can do that. You know, Mike Munson and I, we can put that radiator and that fan belt and that water pump in that mold. We can do it. We did, but it was not easy. So it fosters a false sense of ability and independence that leads to pride. We don't need God. We can take care of that. Or that which you view as total failure leads to shame and a state of constant fear. So that goes back to, you know, if you don't turn it over to God, you're either going to be prideful, or you're going to be fearful and shameful. Make it your goal to learn to consider His presence in the midst of your daily life. Oh yeah, that's not a bad idea. Come to me confident that you are not alone. I am with you. I am with you. For you, always, even to the end. So we don't do that as often. I don't do that as often as I should. I can't talk for you people. But. And then, by the way, if anyone has anything they want to interject, Jerry's got the microphone. So, okay, so here's another one. It's a wood splitter. That doesn't split the wood at length. What, crushes it or whatever? Because it won't split? And I'll tell you something right now. This kind of wood right here produces the most heat. So even if you're a mess and you look like this or like one of these, when you go in the fire and through the fire, it's going to produce heat. And here's another one. And I would say, this is my wife right here. That's good with a mall. It's like, you know, a hot knife through butter, right? But no matter what state you're in the end, going through the fire, one of the results can be this. That's powder.
Gunpowder?
No, it's the ashes. But it could be used as gunpowder. So no matter what state you're in, you could end up like this. And it's just fine powder. And guess what you do with that? You can use it to fertilize. And you can use it for your garden. You can use it for your flowers. Some of you people who are have the green thumb know more about that than I do. Okay, so again, the more nasty you are, the more God can use you, and He can produce heat. I mean, you take this thing and throw it in a hot kitchen fire, and it's going to come out like that. And you're going to be warm in the process. Sometimes you don't get completely burned like you need to. So you end up being this, and that really has no value. You need to be completely conditioned, and that's the word I want, processed through to end up like that. Okay? Everybody with me so far? All right, I'm not done. Now, wood has lots of different purposes. One is for fire. How many people have burned wood? Quite a few. Well, you might not be able to if the green stuff comes around, because they won't let you burn wood because it puts stuff in the air and all that. But in the meantime, we're going to burn wood. So in the sawmill that my nephews have, they have a bandsaw that saws the wood, and it doesn't matter what kind it is, into boards or planks. And so from that, they get sawdust. Okay? By the way, that's Crowder's Dairy. That's O'Neill Crowder's bottle. I'm in New Hampshire. Phone us for the finest in farm fresh dairy products. Telephone Mylan 2052. That's sawdust. Sawdust can be used as bedding for animals. It can be used for mulching. It can be used to preserve ice. I can remember one of my grandparents up on Hawkins Road and having it go out in the barn and, you know, clean the sawdust away from the ice so we could have cold drinks in July. So sawdust has a lot of very important value. And in fact, I can remember just less than a month ago, you dig it under my wood pile and there was still ice there because of sawdust. It's an insulator. Let me make sure I got this right here. Okay. They also have what they call an edger. And what you do is you take the lumber and you put it through and it edges it. There's two blades and you push it through if you want a 2x4 or whatever. Then you put it 4 inches and you get a 2x4. And so they get, it's kind of like sawdust, but it's a little bit different. It has a different texture, but it still has value and it has purpose. And it's a result of a process. Also, we have Dan Demers and I have been doing some work on the old dining room at the house. And he has a thing called a planer, which takes a rough board. And you could be a rough board. Maybe you need to be put through a planer. And when you get put through a planer, you come out with this type of material. A little bit different, but it still has value. It can be used. You can actually burn this too. So we've got that. Everybody with me so far? Okay, you're going to get a little lesson in logging, I guess, today. And I know we've got some loggers in this group. So one of the jobs that Dan does, because he's a tree climber, and oftentimes a little chip wood. Instead of loading it in the trailer and taking it to the transfer station, we'll chip it, and it comes out looking like this. This is basically, like bark, and I mean, it's everything all put together, and it's a little coarser, but it works good in flowers and different rhubarb and raspberries and things like that. So everything so far has a purpose. So all of you have a purpose. One of these things, maybe more than one, I don't know. And then some of the other things that happen is we get, when they saw, they get slabs. And so you get a slab. Now we don't discard this. My brother has a little firewood business, and he takes all the slabs off the lumber that they get, and he off the logs, and he cuts them and sells them for campfire wood. So I'm not promoting this, but if you need campfire wood, I'll give him your number, or if you can give me his number. Okay, and then I have a woman, some of you know, she lives up in Dunham. She loves to do stuff on white birch bark. So we try to save the bark, and she draws things and makes things. Like she made me a little canoe with a white birch bark. So even that can be used for things. All these things now, there's a process, there's a thing that happens to utilize this, and I'd like to compare that to us, that all of us can be utilized for some reason, for some purpose that God has to make a difference in this world. I have a little business. When we get softwood, I split it up into kindlingwood. And I have probably 2 quart of kindlingwood, which is, so if you need kindlingwood, let me know. But I slice it up into small pieces so you can get your bias out of it. When they saw it and put it through the edger, and Dan and I put it through the planer, you get a beautiful piece of wood. that could be used for, I mean, I know Joe's a carpenter, we have other carpenters in this group. Do you know the different things that you can use for wood? Gary, you got a guy over there that's...
I'm not a carpenter, I'm a cabinet maker.
Oh, sorry.
No, there's so much you can do with wood. You can make beautiful things with it, or you can do like you do with burning it and everything else. But if you look at every piece of furniture you have in the house, unless it's plastic, there's wood in it. Your couches, your chairs. So, I mean, wood does play a big part in this country.
Yeah. So the point is, well, I'm not quite done with it, but another thing that we do is we take a piece of wood like this, and because we're fixing an old farmhouse, what we do is we burn it with a charcoal on with a torch. And it comes out like this. So it fits in good with the old farmhouse. You know, you just put the torch on it and you burn it. And but that's pain. That could be painful. You know, when you're talking from even a spiritual point of view or a physical point of view, getting burned, you know, getting processed can hurt. I mean, again, there's like thousands of products. But I mean, this is Melinda's favorite. Wainscoting is one term that we use, where they take wood and they process it and put it through a thing that makes little grooves, and there's tongue and groove, and there's match pond, all kinds of different things. But that, I'm just giving you just a few examples of how God can take, or we can take, a tree in the woods and turn it into something. He can take that. And us, and he can do the same thing. But it's not always just a nice little ride through life. There's other things that happen. So even trees that don't get harvested, and they die in the woods, they still have purpose. They can like help to regenerate. I mean, I've got apple trees, and I've got like some old elm things by a building at my farm, and every year I have to cut. I mean, I'd have to dig up the foundation, get rid of the roots. Every year it grows back. And so, you know, God can regenerate you no matter what. The enemy can try to cut you down year after year, day after day, but God can still use you, and he can bring you up through those trials and tribulations. So anyway, that's kind of a little show and tell that no matter what you look like, and no matter what the finished product is, God can use you for whatever he wants to use you. But, going back to that list that you have, some of those things, maybe all of those, have to happen. During the course of our lifetime, it's not something that's going to happen every day. Well, I shouldn't say all of them every day, but actually every day. We should be allowing him to do something to change us, to be better utilized for his purposes. We all have what God can use us to benefit him. But we must be in him. We must be in unity with the Spirit until we attain the unity of the faith. Ephesians 4:3-13 says, and we must be willing to submit to his discipline, whatever that looks like. Hebrews 12:11 talks about, for the moment all disciple discipline seems painful. Anyone ever been disciplined and have it hurt? Whatever that looks like, okay, rather than pleasant. Okay, it's not always pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. I'm going to read that again. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. And all those verbs that we mentioned above, plus many more, are yours to prepare you for eternity. You know, we all have unique contributions that we can make and that we do make in this while we're serving the Lord. C.S. Lewis was, well, actually, this was a devotion about the first guy in space, the Russian, I can't remember his name now, but when he first came down, you know, one of the Russian leaders said, well, you know, he didn't find God up there while he was in space. C.S. Lewis says, those who do not find God on Earth are unlikely to find him in space. We better find him here. So don't ignore him here, because you won't find him there. In order for the Lord to perform these miracles in our lives, and these are all miracles, reform, redeem, renew, and those are miracles. Oftentimes, but not always, persecution and fiery trials are allowed to take place, because often we don't get it unless things are hot, burning strongly and brightly, maybe even likely to explode as a means of getting our attention. What's it take to get our attention? In Deuteronomy 4:15, God warns us about having idols and the dangers of being seduced into worshiping them. And then it said, remember that I rescued you from the, there's that word, rescue. Remember, I rescued you from the iron furnace of Egypt in order to make you my very own people and my special possession, which is what you are today. So he warns us about not allowing him to be our idol. We have all these other idols. Isaiah chapter 48 talks about God's stubborn people. But it says in verses 9 to 11, yet for my own sake and for the honor of my name, I will hold back my anger and not wake you up. Thank God for that. I have refined you in the furnace of suffering. I will rescue you for my sake. Not for our sake, but for his sake. Excuse me. I will not share my glory with idols. Proverbs is full of scriptures that regard this particular topic, but one that comes to mind is chapter 17:3. Fire tests the purity of God and of gold and silver, but the Lord tests the heart. I'll read that again. Fire tests the purity of gold and silver. It gets rid of all the junk and stuff. But the Lord tests the heart. 1 Peter 17:9. These trials that we're going through, that we've been through, whatever they are, and we've all experienced them throughout our life and we're not done. These trials will show that your faith is genuine, we hope. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Like we've been doing a daily devotion with Dutch Sheets, and many of you have been doing that too, but he was talking about, on April 30th, he was talking about, that was a day of repentance in the USA. I didn't see that on national news, so you must have missed that. But it was a national day of repentance. I mean, we didn't even talk about it. I didn't even know it. But Dutch Sheets said, in Give Him 15 on that day, he talks about the threefold process of repentance. And they are, and I'm not a Greek guy, but metamelanomia, it almost sounds like a cancer, but that's sorrow, regret, and remorse. I'm sorry. I mean, I can remember when I was drinking and I'd wake up with a hangover the next day. I'd say, oh, I'm sorry, I did that, God. I'll never do that again until I felt better. So guilt was there, but it wasn't powerful enough. It wasn't a conviction until later to help me stop. But so that's sorrow, regret, and remorse. It's not related to true repentance, but it's the beginning of the process. It's kind of like admitting. Okay, I admit I got this issue that I need to deal with. I admit I need to work on some of those things that I handed out to you. The second one is metonia. That's a change of mind, of heart, And a new understanding. Oh, now I get why I feel so bad the day after. I got to start thinking a little bit more about that. Instead of just because I feel bad, it's like, why do I feel bad? You have to kind of go through that process. It's a process that creates the turning. And the Holy Spirit has to be involved. And then the final one is, as a trihopo, that's when you turn. You go in a different direction. It comes from the Holy Spirit's revelation revealed to us, and we have to be available to hear it. So those are the three steps that if you want to really have a transformation and have these things happen to you, then you have to have that transformation. Number one, you have to understand, you know, about regret and about remorse, but don't beat yourself up about it. Number two, you've got to have a change of mind. And number three, that's when you turn. That's kind of the three steps of repentance. Ask for a great turning. Turning to you, turning to Him. Turning from our way to your way in everything. Turning from sin to righteousness, from death to life, from selfishness to selflessness and love. Break our hearts in the church. In the church, if we can't do that, then we're not going to have anything to do with it. We're not going to have any kind of an impact. Break our hearts in the church over our lukewarm condition. If that's where you are, and we all can be there, if that's where you are, then you need to change. And also compromise. So, break our hearts in the church over our lukewarm condition and compromise. Bring revelation to your great redemption, your healing power, and your unconditional love for humanity. And I'm going to finish with this little word from Francis Frangipane. It's a book called Spiritual Discernment in the Mind of Christ. And what I've been doing is every day, I read a chapter, and I read it before I get up, because what happens with me, and I don't know if anyone else is like this, but what happens to me is I get up, and I do my stuff, and then I come in, and I have breakfast or whatever, and I'm reading my devotion, and I got to write a check out, get it in the mail before the mail comes, and you know, we get sidetracked. And so what I've been doing is before I get out of bed in the morning, I'm reading, you know, the scripture, and I'm reading this. And like every day, it's like, ah. And that kind of sets my tone for the day. But part three talks about following those who follow Christ. And it's a little poem. It says, Redeemer's kin, because that's us, right? Should be us. You too will pay a price. You will become unoffendable. Your love will rise to maturity. And your eyes will fix themselves upon the possibilities of God, not the limitations nor frailties of man. And it just goes on to talk about, you know, in some cases, you know, we might have disagreements about the timing of the rapture, but we might have misguided things about the administration of the church. But Paul says a true Christian, a true believer, is one who has accepted the living reality of Christ into their hearts. That's the bottom line. We are saved not because we said a prayer at the altar. That might have been a step. But we're saved because we prayed the Spirit of Jesus Christ to actually enter our life and be in. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he says in Hebrews 13:5. He means he is with us forever. The devil knows we are believers, not because we carry a Bible around with us all the time, but because we actually carry Christ. Christ's presence is a flame of eternal life within us. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. You know, it talks about eternal life doesn't come from having a religion about Christ. It comes from actually knowing Christ. If anyone tries to convince you that Christ does not dwell within his people, remind them of his word. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. The test of true faith is Jesus Christ in us. Yes, remind them that truth is a person, not merely a doctrine. So anyway, God can use you through all these things we talked about this morning, through all this stuff here. God can use you for whatever, you know, purpose, and everyone's different. If we're all the same, it wouldn't be that much fun, I don't think. But God can use you, and you can end up being sawdust or mulch or, you know, a fine piece of wood or whatever, but He's going to use you for a purpose, so we have to dwell in Him. Amen. No, I'm looking for feedback now. That's what we'll start at. We got something raised up. We got somebody over here. Yes.
Yeah. The ash, the first one you showed, with Jesus, when we go through our trials and tribulations, it's like we're going through a certain part of His fire that He's teaching us, right? Mm-hmm. And the thing with the ash, it's the final product of the wood being burnt, period. And you know, with that ash, you can make lye, and lye can make soap, and you're rewashed again, just like you're washed from the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. Amen to that, Kelly. Thank you.
Yep.
We got the phone here, Chuck.
Chuck.
Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah, yeah.
And so our greatest joy in life will be to be completely consumed by His Spirit. Because then we'll burn hot, we'll burn pure for Him. And the dross and sin that's in us, the unrenewed mind, will begin to fade away. So we can't be afraid of that consuming fire. Good sermon. Thank you.
Yes, thanks. Anybody else? Okay. Well, thank you. Yep. Jim?
Sorry.
Well, we got Bob.
Obviously, God created trees. The heavens and earth,
yeah,
to provide us with shelter, with heat, with warmth. We have a city nearby, the city the trees built. Rock's a little hard to work with, so I think wood was a better way to build shelters for ourselves, to raise our families and protect our families from all the things. Trees are a godsend. I ate with wood for 12 years, and I liked it, you know. And He's provided jobs in trades, carpenters, and all those people. So I think it's just like the deer. The deer is there for fur, to keep ourselves warm, and it's food. It's all part of God's creation. It all makes sense to me.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me, I was thinking about this morning. On the farm, my parents just raised animals, and I mean, we ate everything just about on the pig, from your pig's feet to head cheese. Some of you may know about that. From your brains right to the feet, you know. And then, you know, same thing with the animals. You pretty much used everything, you know. And that's kind of where I got the philosophy about life from my parents. Like my father, when he cut wood, it didn't matter what kind of a tree it was, he used everything. He limbed things in the woods, you know, for the future, and he brought the tree out and he cut it into logs, back then 4-foot pulp, and firewood. And he used everything. There was nothing left in the yard and he was done. So, you know, sometimes I don't think we do that as much now as we used to. We don't even do it. We throw stuff away because we're too, I mean, we do, because we don't have time to process the whole thing. But, Jeff?
So it's interesting because we can not only be a certain type of tree, but we can actually throughout life go through each one of these phases.
Oh, yes, yes.
Different experiences we have. I mean, we can be burned to ash and you know, and look at this word regenerate that you have here, regrow lost things, bring and give new and more vigorous life. So, you know, each one of those can be a perfect example of us. And to add to Chuck's thing about Hebrews 12:29. I have to read the Message version. It says, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God. I think we felt this whole service. For God is not an indifferent bystander. He's actively cleaning house, torching all that needs to burn, and he won't quit until it's all cleansed. That ties in Kelly's thing about the ash and the lye. God is so good.
I mean, this message could have gone in 100 different places because some of you maybe are familiar with pruning. But scripture refers to pruning quite a bit, but it didn't have like it started with a P, so I didn't put it in. But I mean, pruning, you know, like when we cut down our old lilac bush, you know, last year because we had too many things in there that were squelching the life of the new stuff. So we had almost cut the whole thing down. It kind of reminds me of the yellow rattle in the field. That it's a little yellow flower that sucks the nutrients out of the ground and kills off the good stuff. And if you don't kill that before it gets going, it'll kill the good stuff. So God sometimes has to do that too. He has to prune us at the right time. Because if if it's too late, or if we don't let it.
Save the peas for the next sermon.
Anyone else?
I have a fair amount of woods behind my house, and every spring I go back in and I see all these fallen trees, and sometimes big ones, and I say, what a waste. But I found that all these dead trees have a purpose too, whether it's for the wildlife, it creates a lot of life. It reminds me of what Jesus said. He said, unless you be born again, you can never enter the kingdom of God. So there's a death, but then there's a life in the spirit.
I think that's in rebirth, right? If you look on your sheet, the rebirth has that. Yeah. And Bob, you had some?
Yeah, as this rebirth, it goes along with people. There are people that don't exactly meet the standard that others would like them to meet. They don't get all A's and they're not perfect. But these people that have problems, they're a different kind of trait. The way you treat these people and the way they act is just as important as that he's old. Because it helps us, understand, it helps us that we are not perfect, no matter who we are, and we shouldn't be judging that other tree, the apple tree or the cherry tree, or the person that has problems mentally, physically, spiritually. All of these are human beings, and they belong to God, in my opinion.
Thank you.
I think it's interesting that the first one on your R list is reaffirm. Confirm your validity. What did we say this morning? I am who you say I am.
Said, but that's enough.